The Blast from Our Past Network.
Hello and welcome to Action Action, the action movie podcast that watches all the action movies. We put them on our list. It's getting big. It's getting long. It's getting hard. Ready for action.
Phrasing.
But anyways, you know what? We are on the BFOP network and we have some special guests today. We have fellow network hosts,
associates
from Podcasting After Dark. We have Corey and Zach. Hey guys, thanks for being here.
What's up? Happy to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Finally, we got Zach on the show. Corey, you've been here.
Yeah, Corey, whatever.
Yeah, screw me. Zach's the big draw here on this episode for sure.
Yeah, you're just here as a technicality.
I'm gonna do like a bad German accent like Brian James does.
Brian James, yeah.
This is my first time on the program.
Hey, and he wasn't even the worst acting in the movie.
No.
We'll get into that.
So before we get started, why don't, you know, if some of our audience hasn't listened to your podcast before, why don't you guys just break down kind of like what your show's about and we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah. Podcasting After Dark. We are a cult movie podcast. We started out talking about movies that we weren't allowed to watch as a kid, but it just evolved over time into just cult movies overall. Movies like, we just recorded our review of Alligator, 1980s Alligator.
Nice.
Robert Forster. Love that movie. Love that man.
That's a great
He's awesome.
He's so good in it.
Yeah,
too.
he's great. And we also have a spinoff show. But on the main show, Podcasting After Dark, we break down movies and review them, but our breakdowns are extensive, so most episodes are no less than 2.5 hours. Some of them are 3.5 hours, like Alligator.
That's crazy. Guys are nuts.
We have a lot to
You're
say.
Mental.
And then we have a spinoff show called TV Obscura, which once a month we talk about weird TV shows from our youth. Zach and I are joined by our pal Diallo, and we have fun, and we also do interviews too. And on our Patreon, we're going through every single John Carpenter movie on our Carpenter Factor. And right now, Zach, we just recorded Village of the Damned. So that'll be out this month at some point when I get it up there.
Nice. I mean, the Carpenter journey, that just sounds like a fun one to take, to go through every single film like that.
Yeah, that was inspired by Zach and I kind of did the same thing about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago now. One summer, just kind of went through every Carpenter movie. We stopped at a certain point. I think it was Prince of Darkness. But we had such a good time doing it and going in order, and I felt like I was learning something. I always learn something from Zach every freaking episode that we record. He's like a walking IMDb knowledge over there. And we decided to replicate it, and we've been having a blast and learning a lot about John Carpenter and seeing a lot of stuff that I had never sort of seen before. I don't mean movie-wise, but like picking up on stuff.
And Zach, you also have another podcast too, right?
I do. It's called $2 Late Fee. It's the Corey's my sister wife to my other sister wife is Dustin Rubin. It's an 80s nostalgia movie podcast where we have a freeform discussion about a movie from the 80s, a specific song off its soundtrack and pop culture moments, and then we interview someone connected to the movie. So this month, this is your exclusive, we'll be dropping a Cobra episode and talking about the soundtrack overall. It's actually this is probably, in my opinion, one of my favorite episodes that we've recorded, because it goes in different directions, because I think Cobra went in a lot of different directions too, behind the scenes. And then our interview for the month will be with Brian Thompson, the Night Slasher.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The slasher himself. Yeah.
And I will tell
he's sweet.
Unbelievable. And we actually just, and just like Podcasting After Dark does with TV Obscura. We have a wrestling show now called Territory Marks with myself and Paul London. He's a former WWE wrestler.
Yes. Still wrestling. I didn't know about that. I got to check that out.
Yeah, we just dropped our third episode about a week ago. And I think we'll be recording episode number four the following week. So, yeah, we focus on 80s territory wrestling. So NWA, AWA, World Class, mm-hmm. Mid-South, Florida Championship, all that stuff. You know, one-man gang before he became Hakim in the WWF. Yeah.
And with the African, you know, dream.
Yes. So, you know, brutal stuff. Bruiser Brody, you know, coal miner glove matches, stuff like that. It's a deep dive into 80s wrestling.
Okay, I'm gonna be.
That's all, that sounds sure. Right up your alley, yeah, Dustin.
That's my kind of thing, right there.
Right, yeah. Now, what did you? Who are some of your favorite wrestlers in the 80s?
Well, when I was a kid, I was definitely a WWF kid, yeah. Because I just didn't have access to
totally
a lot of the other stuff. And we also had Stampede Wrestling.
Yep.
Stu Hartz was on television when I was a kid too, so I'd watch that. But it was mostly WWF, and you know, I'd see NWA stuff in magazines at the corner store, and that was about it. I didn't have access to that stuff till later, so
right.
I kind of had to retroactively go back and learn about some of that stuff. But yeah, I love the wrestling.
Well, Stampede Wrestling might come up as well, because Stampede was a great territory in Canada, and obviously the Hart family came from there, and other notable people too. You know, but we focus late 70s to toe dipping into the early 90s as well. We're not going to talk about RoboCop and WCW. We'll save it for TV Obscura.
I want to talk about that.
I'm saving it for TV Obscura, dude. Yeah. So, but you know, we will go into some deep dives into some classic matches. So, yeah, that's Territory nice. Marks on $2 late fee and Podcasting After Dark, TV Obscura. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah,
action.
You guys have got the content.
Yeah, I mean,
down there.
You guys have like a network just by yourselves. That's awesome.
It means it's a lot of editing all the time. Yeah. Editing.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
Know. Yeah, you guys
with
know.
No pay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, awesome. We are so excited to have you guys on. Now we do a segment on our show at the beginning where we do a little thing called Seek or Destroy, or John would call Sink or Swim. Yeah.
If he was still alive.
If he was still alive, but he's no longer among us.
He's upstairs.
He's just upstairs with his family. But, you know, we go through things that, you know, you've been watching this week, things you should check out or things you should definitely not check out. So since you guys are the guests, well, we're going to have Zach. What do you got?
Seek or Destroy. So things I've been checking out this week, right?
Yep.
Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it done now? I'm not quite caught up.
It just finished. It just wrapped two nights ago, or on Tuesday night. So I know that's a little out of the field on the show per se, but
no, we talk about all of it during this segment. Yeah.
I got to tell you, like, that show started when the pandemic started, and it got me through some challenging times. And if there's ever been a show that encapsulates, you know, all the goodness in the world, that's the show. It's just top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel good for watching it. Makes, you know, it's quality TV. And you learn some life lessons. And, you know, out of it, maybe becoming a better person. So, you know, I tell my son now every now and then, like Ted Lasso tells his son, be a goldfish. Goldfish has like a 10-second memory. So it lets go of all the things that bother it throughout the day. So be a goldfish. Don't let things bother you, you know, the things that hold you back. So, yeah. That's one of my seek, not a destroy.
Yeah, I got. Nice. I'm a little bit behind a few episodes, I think, and but yeah, I love that show. And like you're saying, it's one of the only shows I can think of that you watch it and it actually makes you want to be a better human being. So.
Right? How awesome is that? So, and one last thing I'll drop is, I don't know if I should reveal this yet, Corey. It's a little toe dip on one of our upcoming episodes. Is it okay to talk about?
Go for it, man. Go for it.
Okay. Corey and I have a term, Corey does on our show, Podcasting After Dark, funsy viewing. When we break down a movie ahead of time, we'll watch it ahead of time, or in Corey's case, maybe after the fact, just for fun, funsies viewing. I watch it ahead of time before I break the movie down. Just watched Treasure of the Four Crowns. It's available on Blu-ray from Kino. It's a canon movie that came out in like 1983. Ennio Morricone did the soundtrack for it. It's basically Canon's ripoff of Indiana Jones, or Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wait, didn't they also do the Alan Quartermain movies? Wasn't that canon,
they
too?
They sure did. This one did not spawn a sequel, and I think you'll know why when you see it. I think it fits both categories. It's a seek and a destroy. You'll want to destroy yourself after. You'll feel like you destroyed yourself after watching it. But you want to seek it out because it's fun.
I mean, those are the best kind, aren't
Come
they?
Come on. Yeah. I know. We'll be breaking it down in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Nice. I'm excited. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Look, very much looking forward to it.
Well, it'll just awesome. Simply, I'll tease this. It'll answer the question, can you spin your head around 360 and still live? The answer is yes.
Yes. I assumed it could only be yes.
Anyways, that's enough of me.
I'll try that later on, see how that works out.
Corey, what have you been watching?
Yeah, my wife and I just wrapped up Atlanta with Donald Glover's show on I think it was on FX.
Another show I'm behind on.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Four seasons, absolutely loved it. And we just started the Harley Quinn animated show on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know. I heard it was like adult. I didn't know that she was going to be hardcore cussing and like kicking dudes like kneecaps out. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
It's a
that's a fun show.
It is. It's a hard R. We're right at the end of season one, so we do have some ways to go with it. So very excited to see where that goes.
Yeah.
I had a buddy in town about a week and a half ago. We busted through a bunch of movies, and I'm just going to rattle out a bunch of quick ones. Motel Hell. A lot of fun. Watch that. Yeah. The Prowler. Watch that. A lot of fun. And watch.
Good time of year for that one.
Yep. And watch Sisu. Went and saw Sisu in the theater and very much enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. I want to do that one on the show soon, for sure.
I'm waiting for it to come to action. And then for my destroy, of all those movies, we watched another one called Blood Rage. And
classic Blood Rage, the cranberry sauce.
I mean, it was fine. It was fine. It wasn't as good as Motel Hell or Prowler, you know? It was fine.
Well, I'll say this about Blood Rage. The first time I saw it, I was like, yeah, all right. But the next time I saw it, I don't know, it clicked for me. That's a glorious piece
Sweet
of trash.
Spot. Maybe I need to watch it at Thanksgiving and it'll click for me.
Yes, that's the problem. Yeah, you didn't watch it the right time of year.
There you
Come
go.
On.
It's out of season. It's like wearing right. white after Labor Day.
Awesome.
Oh, and then one more, Dustin. If I can throw a video game into the mix. I've been playing Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed with my wife like all the time and having an absolute blast with that game. It's the best Ghostbusters game I've ever played, and it fully realizes the fantasy of becoming a Ghostbuster. So awesome. Go check out Ghostbusters Spirits
cool.
Unleashed.
Is that new? I don't think I even knew about
that. Yeah, it's one of those like 4v1, so like you get to play as four Ghostbusters, very customizable, so you can make it look like you. Kind of cartoony, though. And then one person plays as a ghost trying to haunt whatever the location in. Okay. Made by the same people who made the Friday the 13th game.
Right. Okay,
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Dustin, what are the 18 movies you've watched this week?
You know, I'm having trouble narrowing it down. Which ones should I talk about on a show when we have two guests? You know, I don't want to go crazy, but I'll mention a few things here. I did a sort of sadomasochistic double feature where I watched the 1993 Super Mario Brothers movie and then followed it up immediately with the brand new Super Mario Brothers movie.
Probably the best way to watch it.
Yeah, it's the only way to watch.
Yeah.
I had never seen the 93 Super Mario Brothers movie, if you can believe that. Wow.
That just seems odd that you've never seen it.
I know. It's just one of those slip through the cracks kind of movies. It's as bad as people say it is, but I can't say that I wasn't entertained by it at the same time. Sort of like how you're talking about with the four lamps or whatever.
The treasure of the four crowns. Four lamps.
I called it the four condors on when we announced it.
Oh, we're gonna have fun with that one.
We are.
Man, I assume have you guys all seen the 93 Mario?
Yes. Yeah.
I saw it in the theater, unfortunately.
What the hell was that?
I mean, I saw Double Dragon in the theater, too.
What did that have to do with Mario? Oh, yeah, Double Dragon, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was thoroughly disappointed and enthralled at the same time. I was like, what is this? And what is this?
What is it? It's bizarre. The new one was all right. You know, it was good enough. Yeah. It had some fun, good visuals,
It's a kids movie.
It definitely did what it needed to do.
Yeah, it fulfills what it needs to for a kids movie.
For sure. What else? I watched The Last Hunter. This is a Antonio Margheriti Namsploitation movie. So one of these Italian Vietnam War, but like it's an action movie more than it's a drama. It does try to kind of do some drama to not the greatest effect, but. The action bits were pretty fun. Like,
nice.
A lot of big shootouts, a lot of huge explosions going on. And, you know, it's sleazy. It's Italian. It's some fun. Then I watched, like, the craziest fucking movie I've seen in a long time. A movie called The Boxer's Omen. Has anyone seen that movie?
No.
It's a Chinese... I don't know how to describe this. This is like if you wanted to watch, like, Hodorowski's Holy Mountain, but if Hodorowski was trying to make like Big Trouble in Little China, and then you threw in a little bit of Bloodsport.
Cool. Sold.
Check this movie out if you get a chance. It is insane. Like, it is just nuts. It's got some real gross effects. Like, it's not super gory, but there's all this like gross shit that I don't even know how to describe. It's kind of like it reminded me of a lot of the effects of the first Evil Dead, actually.
Cool.
A lot of weird deterioration things and just strange ideas. There's some really hammy stuff too, like there's like these fake spiders that don't look remotely real, like they look like they're from the beyond or
is
something.
Is it kind of like Riccio kind of?
Yeah, it's a Cat 3 movie, like Riccio, so that it was like a, you know, kind of like the rated R Hong Kong sort of movie, but it's just bizarre, but I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, my mind was going to Riccio when you were talking about, like, how violent it was or whatever. Like, is the violence in the fights, in the Bloodsport fights?
No, that's the thing. It's not really, like, violent like that. It's more like it has to do a lot of stuff to do with black magic, and so there's just all this weird... sort of gross effects that they do, and it's really hard to explain why it's gross, but when you watch it, it's just very like
you're like, it's gross.
It's very unsettling. Yeah,
so no one's getting choked out by someone's intestine?
No, that doesn't happen, but all kinds of other weird stuff.
Oh man, I love Riccio.
Oh, it's so good.
I also watched Point Blank with Lee Marvin from 1967.
Good movie.
Yeah, I had never seen it before. Really good. And they remade it as Payback with Mel Gibson in the late 90s.
Yep.
But which I also enjoyed, but I think this is better. It's way more stylish, just really well shot. I don't know, cool, ambiguous ending like they like to do in that era. So I really enjoyed it. Last movie I'll mention is I went and finally saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh.
Haven't been out to the theater much lately, but I got out to that. Went with my old man. He fell asleep immediately.
Oh, of course he did. He's a tough critic.
He's a tough critic. He just goes to sleep if he doesn't like it. He wakes up halfway through. He's like, when is this going to be over?
What kind of bullshit is this?
Where's that Cat Stevens song again? Where's it? I don't want Cat Stevens.
He's like, there were some funny bits, but man, there's a bunch of people screaming.
Torturing animals.
Yeah. I think he slept through that part. But anyway, I really liked it, man. I thought, you know, I've kind of been out of the Marvel thing now. Like, we've talked about it a lot on the show.
Yeah.
We're pretty fatigued by all the superhero stuff. This feels like a good last hurrah to me.
Yeah.
Like, this was... I might retire from watching superhero movies at this point. It was a good note to go out on. Probably like top three Marvel movie for me, actually.
Oh, wow.
To be honest.
Really?
I thought it was really good, too. I thought it was really well done. Nice button-up as well.
I really enjoyed it. So, yeah. I might retire, other than, like, Across the Universe, because that's animated, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I've been watching mostly kids' movies. So I watched A Babysitter's Guide to Monster Hunting.
Oh.
You ever seen this? Dustin?
No, can't say I've seen that one.
This is in your wheelhouse. My kids liked it quite enjoyed it. My oldest daughter, she's really into like fantasy kind of movies. Yeah, good for a kids movie.
Cool.
So if you got kids, you want to watch something, yeah, watch it. A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, yeah. The live action.
Did not like it.
No.
Was that the TV show or the movie?
The movie.
The movie.
Okay.
Didn't Oprah Winfrey produce it or something like that? Or she's
yeah.
in it?
Yeah. She's in it. Yeah. Didn't like it. My kids didn't like it.
Yep. not a fan.
Yeah. Not a fan. My kids have been really into the newest version of the Scooby-Doo show.
Oh, yeah.
So it's on Netflix. So they watched the first or there's two seasons. So they watched all of that. And then, you know, I kind of said, hey, you know, they made like movies, too. Right. And so we watched like 2002's Scooby-Doo.
Oh, boy.
And hey, they liked it. Okay. So. Yeah.
I've never actually seen it. I just remember...
it's very cheesy.
Did James Gunn direct that or just write it?
Did he really write that?
Yeah, he definitely wrote it. I can't remember if he directed it as well. I saw it once, and I was not thoroughly impressed with it. But, I mean, I grew up on the 70s, you know, Scooby-Doo cartoons and stuff with, like, you know, Tim Conway, the special guests. Every episode was a special guest, you know, and I used to love that shit back in the day.
Yeah,
those are the ones that are classic to me. My wife likes some of the newer ones too, though. Like, I don't know if she's seen the ones you're talking about, James, but there's been a bunch of different
Scooby-Doo series,
and she would watch a few from a few years ago, and I watched a couple of them with her, and they were pretty funny actually, and had little sort of smart jokes and
they're actually like the newest, and I can't remember what it's called exactly, but it's actually good. It reminds me of, like, the original show.
Okay,
like,
that's nice.
It's actually entertaining.
And, of course, we're not talking about Velma, right? The Velma cartoon?
No.
No. I don't think the kids were going to be into that one, were they?
Not yet.
No.
No.
So, yeah, so I was watching that, and then I started watching Barry.
Oh, yeah.
So I hadn't watched any of Barry, so I'm, like, halfway through season two. So
nice.
Quite enjoying that.
Just finished it myself.
But yeah. Quite enjoying that. Hey, guys, recommend it. You know? I know I'm kind of behind on it, but...
Yeah, we told you to watch it about 4 years ago.
I know. It was kind of like everything. I watch a little bit, and then I just never go back to it. So it's the same with Atlanta. I watched just the Goofy episode, the Goofy movie episode.
Yeah, that was an interesting episode, and that
I love it.
I should, yeah, it was really awesome, and it's funny because my wife's a bit younger than me, so she was like, "Oh, now I want to watch the Goofy movie because it's nostalgia to her." Whereas I'd never seen it before, so we actually watched it a couple nights ago, and it's all because of that Atlanta episode. And
that movie slaps.
I actually thought it was good. I was like, you know what?
It's awesome.
And I'm a 45-year-old dude watching it for the first time in 2023, and I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah,
I might have to give it a chance.
The
soundtrack
alone is worth it.
Oh, yeah. The soundtrack's great.
It's amazing.
But yes, according to Atlanta, it's the blackest movie ever made.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think it's true, too.
Yeah. That show has episodes, like every season, it has these weird episodes that kind of do their own thing that aren't connected to the show itself. And they have a lot of fun with it. And it just, I've never had a show keep me on my toes as much as that did episode to episode.
Nice.
And there's
a lot of strange show, but I love it.
There's a lot of weird horror elements in it as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was going to, James, I was going to offer you, because you have kids, if you've ever seen the movie Earth to Echo, it's a fun kind of E.T. / Explorers / E.T.-esque type film. These kids find a little robot in the middle of the desert and try to get it home. It's a cool film for kids. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's all on handheld devices throughout the whole thing. So they're like talking to each other on their phones or whatever. And it's cool. It's a modern E.T., I guess is a good way to put it. Mm. And then Dustin, I got a movie for you. It's called Devil Fetus.
Oh, you know, I added that to my watch list not too long ago. I'm having trouble tracking it down.
Yeah, I don't know. They may maybe find it on YouTube perhaps, but for anyone wondering, it's about a woman. It's a Hong Kong film where a woman buys a vase, I think, in like a flea market, and then it decides to insert the vase inside her body in an orifice, and it unleashes a devil inside her body, and it gets passed to another person at one point through, or it actually gets passed to a dog at one point, because the dog goes under the woman's skirt and
oh boy,
licks her area, and wow. So she, the dog gets.
You're really covering a lot of ground here, Zach. You're recommending the children's film.
So it runs again. I'm a Gemini. I'm a Gemini.
And yet I'm called Sleazy C on the show, and Zach's the pure one. You know,
I omitted
guys,
certain
words. I want
words.
You to watch Devil Fetus, okay?
I'm just saying, like, if you like wild, wacky stuff, that's one to get.
I do. I saw, you know, I hadn't heard of it until recently. I think I was watching In Search of Darkness 3, and I think they did a whole section on Asian horror films, and Devil Fetus is one of the ones that was mentioned. I was like, Devil Fetus? Well, that I got to see that.
Sold.
I saw that on a double feature with, the Arrow Theater here in Santa Monica does a horror-thon every year. They showed that with The Blob, the remake, the 88 remake.
The 88, yeah.
The Entity, Phantasm 2. Oh, nice. Hell Night with Linda Blair,
yeah.
Brain Damage and Humanoids from the Deep.
All those movies
are
great.
Well, that is a hell of a marathon right there. Yep, yeah,
that, I made it through about four. I made it through Phantasm 2.
Man, see, we just don't get stuff like that around where we live.
So, you guys got to come out to L.A.
I know. It just kills me. We got.
That's it. We're moving the show to L.A.
Road trip.
Yeah. Well, let's get to what we watched for the show today. We watched 1992's Nemesis. Let's hear a trailer.
Alex Rain is a human being. His life is more dangerous with each sunrise.
Alex Rain will be destroyed somehow, some way.
He should die for what he's done. Get him!
In a future false world, he stands for truth.
He's a cop, all right.
In a violent world, violence is his life. He knows he must face the human condition alone.
It takes more than flesh and blood to be human, Alex.
I can't feel anything anymore.
Maybe you should take the time to find out what you care about, Alex.
You're not really human anymore, are you?
He knows the answer, but he doesn't know the question.
I think he accepted the story. By the time he learns the truth, it'll be too late.
He must face an ever-changing enemy in an eternal fight against an indestructible force.
I need your help with the cyborgs.
The never-ending battle line is drawn. He has what they must have.
Jared's mind and soul, Alex.
In a world where humanity is measured in percentages, only Alex Rain knows the path to redemption, to the cyborg enemy. He is their nemesis.
That was a crazy trailer, guys. Like, that's amazing.
Made me want to watch it all over again.
It's actually pretty good. It's one of those classic trailers, so it's actually pretty good.
No, it's like in a world where a cop is burnt out and he becomes a cyborg. He must fight more cyborgs to save the future from cyborgs.
Yeah, what? What is... Okay, hold on. Before we even start, did anyone fucking understand what was going on in this movie?
Absolutely
I had no idea.
Not.
No idea.
No, I feel like this film on paper... Well, that's a lot of Pune films, though. A lot of Pune films sound amazing. And then when you watch it, you're like, you know, it kind of made sense. And it had great explosions. So
it had
I'm going to
give
it a pass.
Explosions.
Great.
If we only
stunts.
Had an explosions thing on our rating scale, this would
that's
be,
true.
This would be a 10 out of 10.
I think it's
for
a
sure.
10 out of 10. Yeah. Yes.
I found in between all the action, it was just info dump after info
a
dump.
A lot of info dumps, yeah.
Yeah.
So much info dump. True. Did you guys ever remember, I don't know if you remember or not, Corey, you might, in the 80s, the VHS game came out called for iRobot, Isaac Asimov's iRobot, the VHS game, and you'd fast forward to certain times to determine whether you would where you would go in the game, and it was a retelling of Asimov's story in like a 20-minute VHS tape, basically. It's pretty interesting. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. But this at times reminded me of that. Like, are they trying to sound, they're trying to sound really cool by giving you all this information, but it's really a bunch of bullshit. Like, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. None of it matters.
Like, I had a lot of trouble listening to these info dumps and being like, what is being conveyed here? Like,
yeah.
And then, like, every scene, there's kind of like a betrayal or a turn. Everybody. Or who's who and who's a robot and who's not. But anyway, I before we get into all that stuff, like, well, let's read the synopsis. James, you want me to read it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
In the future, chaos is rampant as information terrorists threaten to destroy order in society. Alex is a part man, part machine, LAPD cop who is the best at what he does, I guess. When one of the terrorists calls him a machine, Alex questions his humanity and decides to leave the force. His final assignment is to apprehend an old colleague who has stolen some data. However, there is more than meets the eye, and Alex must question his allegiance. Okay, yeah.
I have a problem with that. They don't mention all the giant oversized trench coats and the terrible sunglasses that everyone's wearing.
Oh man,
that's
I love
a cyberpunk
the sun-
movie. You gotta
yeah,
have
I
stuff.
Love the sunglasses. I'm like, I'm digging this time.
I liked Olivia Grunier's sunglasses. His were cool. His yeah. spectacle ones.
Yeah.
And maybe we should start off by talking about him a little bit, because he's sort of like the poor man's Van Damme, I feel like. And I remember when this movie came out, I remember renting this movie, actually, and I haven't seen it since then. I'm renting it on VHS when it came out. So I didn't remember a lot of it. Some of the scenes came back to me as I was watching it. But he was, I won't say a big deal, but in the straight-to-video market, he had a presence for a while in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. But he just never really grabbed me as a star, like... He's kind of flat. He's a former French military guy, I guess, and was a real kickboxing champion and stuff. So I think they thought we got ourselves another JCVD here. Let's throw this guy in a movie and see.
Yeah, but this guy has no charm.
Yeah, or at least not in this movie. I don't know. Has anyone seen more of his films? I think I've seen only one or two of them.
I've seen Angel Town. That was the first time I saw him. I own the MVD Blu-ray that came out a couple years ago. It's a beautiful transfer. Like, it's a really cool edition. I was a fan of his because I felt like I was a fan of all martial art VHS cover box guys. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I wanted to like these guys, so I gave him a push just because I wanted an alternative to Stallone and Schwarzenegger, I think. And at the time, he's not that great. Give me Michael Wincott any day. Jeff Wincott. What about
Speakman?
Jeff Speakman, who I interviewed on $2 Late Fee. Super cool dude, too. Those guys were great. For me, yeah, I totally agree with everything you say. He lacks that charm. JCVD had that wink, you know? Like, yeah. he was in on the joke, even though at times he was the joke, depending on what movie right. he was doing. But for me, yeah. Like, I wanted to like him more than I actually did.
Well, and apparently he was kind of pushed on Albert Pune by the Shaw Brothers production company. He went to them for money or backing, and the original character was supposed to be like a young girl. Was supposed to be
right, yeah.
Alex Rain was supposed to be a young girl.
Megan Ward, I think.
Yeah. And then the Shaw Brothers said, we'll give you the money, but you got to change that character to Olivier Gruner. And they said we won't do any more influencing if you do this. So, I mean, you know, I don't necessarily have a problem with him. I don't think he's like holding the film back by any stretch of the imagination. I actually think he is kind of fun on screen. Now, that being said, he's no JCVD. He'll never be JCVD. But as far as a straight-to-video guy, I kind of don't have a problem with him in this movie. But then again, there are so many amazing supporting actors around him.
Unbelievable.
I'm blown away because, Dustin, like you, I saw this once on VHS when it first came out. And back then, I didn't know who Tim Thomerson was or Cary Tagawa was, and stuff like that. But now I'm watching and I'm like, holy crap, this movie is chock full of awesome character supporting actors.
Yeah, it's true, and like we were talking about Brian James as well. and Yuji Okamoto from like Karate Kid 2 and
Chosen,
Better Off Dead and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a great supporting cast. And then there are a bunch of other actors in here that I feel like are not great.
Well, like, somebody got his first start in one of these movies. Did you recognize
Tom Jane?
Thomas Jane, yeah. Tom Jane,
a fucking Maryland boy. I always support my Thomas Jane. I was
Todd Parker.
He's so young that he actually has acne in this movie.
He had acne.
Yeah,
on his butt too. He had on his butt too.
I mean, thanks for. I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching a Blu-ray. I was watching it on Tubi, but they clearly had at least a 1080 scan of that on, yep, Tubi because it looked great.
His butt, that's or one of the print?
Both.
Well, both.
Yeah, true.
That whole scene was just like, okay, I guess we're doing this. It's just
I know,
hanging out, looking out the window, naked. Sure.
Well, I wasn't upset with it when I saw, you know, Deborah Shelton naked, but yeah, it was a lot of Thomas Jane butt though.
I want to shout out her really quick though, because she like underwent a huge physical transformation for this role and like really committed herself to the stunts and everything. You could tell just simply by like the behind the scenes notes on this thing, you could tell that she wanted this so bad to be successful. And so that being said, I think she did a great job with what she had, and she looked great. You know, her hair looked like it was as brittle as hell. Like it was.
Yeah. Her hair probably did not survive this production whatsoever.
But Deborah Shelton's been around for a long time, yeah, up until this point. So yeah, she was great.
Can I say the one person that I was actually excited to see and I thought was a little underwhelming was Tom Matthews?
Yeah.
Oh wait, sorry. Remind me. Oh, Tom Matthews, right? Of course.
He played the. Yeah, he played the bounty hunter, you know, with the.
Yeah, with the face gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I when I first saw him, I was like, oh, who is that? And it didn't come to me. And then as I was watching the movie, then he shows up again later. And I was like, oh, of course. Yeah. You know, Return of the Living Dead and Friday 6 and all that. But such a strange role for him to just pop up. I loved the face gun, though. That was one of the more fun elements, I thought, in the movie.
Yeah, that was a cool concept. I mean, I think, like Zach said, so much about this movie is great in concept, and I'm watching it and I'm like, it's right up my alley. Why didn't I watch this as a kid? And then halfway through the movie, I mean, this is one of those movies that starts so strong, then halfway through the movie, it just starts going. It's a roller coaster down to the end. And I have so many scratches on my ratings because the rating changed over the course of this film. And by the end of it, I was like, and then we'll get to our ratings and stuff. I was like, I don't hate my time with it, but I'm like, I see now why this wasn't in heavy rotation for me as a kid.
Well, and I was
Go ahead.
I was going to really quickly, in regards to, you said, why did Tom Matthews maybe do this movie? I know he was buddies with Albert Pune, who passed away, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
But, Tom was on our show.
Yeah, just last year.
One of our earlier interviews we did on Podcasting After Dark, and he talked a little bit about working with Pune, because he did a few movies with him, I think.
Yeah, like Mean Guns. Wasn't Mean Guns
Mean Guns, Down Twisted, I think, was another one. Maybe Dangerously Close, possibly. But he's done a few. Blood Match was another one. That was the martial art movie, which I believe had Hope Marie Carlton in it. So there you go. But that had a who's who martial artists back in the day. But yeah, like I think he has a good relationship with the actors that he works with. I think Cary Hiroyuki Tagawa also might have done a few movies with him too, and Yuji Okamoto. Anyways, I think that's to answer that kind of speculative question.
It's just a kind of interesting cast altogether.
Yeah.
And then I gotta say, I do like the locations in the movie. They got great locations. It looks really good, especially, you know, now that it's been given a Blu-ray and everything. There's some cool camera work in it as well. So like, there are positive things for me. I think the action is pretty fun. Like we talked about those explosions. There's a lot of explosions.
Yep. The action is fun, especially. Yeah. After you get through that huge dip in the middle of the movie, and then you get to the point where he's in that hotel and the guys are coming for him and he's shooting his way through the floor.
Awesome.
I was like, awesome. Yes, this is what I'm here for.
That was great.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
And by the way, right before that happened, Vince Klein, you know, he was in Cyborg. Once again, getting his voice dubbed because he did not have an intimidating voice. You guys know that in Cyborg, he was voice. He was dubbed by Branscombe Richmond of Renegade fame. And
Branscombe was in this too.
Yeah, he was.
He played Mexican man at one point.
Yeah, like every heavy from so many movies are different bad guys in this. Like, you just recognize everybody as a henchman from something else.
Yeah, right? Corey's boy Sven is in this. So.
Yeah, Sven. LaFour's, man. Yeah, even has a confirmed kill, two confirmed kills. It's great. I love it.
I wanted to point out really quick that Michael Rubini did the soundtrack for this. Michael, and I'm like, why does that name sound familiar? Because apparently Albert Pune did not like the soundtrack. I thought it was fine, but Michael Rubini did the soundtrack for Manhunter, my favorite Michael Mann movie of all time.
Oh, nice. Pretty cool.
And kind of
that is a hell of a soundtrack.
Yeah, and kind of talking about like the action and everything, like that scene with the giant tower getting knocked over and them, you know, obviously stunt people running, but I'm like, that's this does not ever to me feel like action wise feel like a low budget movie.
It's true. Yeah.
All the guns looked super cool and had that, like, they looked normal but also futuristic, and
it was a good mix the way that
and I love how every bullet was like an explosive round and everything just like explodes.
Everything just blows up.
Love that so much.
One of my favorite scenes is, and I forget who it was, but they were running away, and someone literally, like, they're running for like 10 minutes.
It's when Tim Thomerson is shooting at them,
and he's just got like a shotgun.
Explosion.
It's just like,
I'm like, I don't think he's even in sight anymore of where they would be.
No, and it's just blowing shit up. I love it. Love it.
Tim Thomerson was fantastic, by the way. It, like, talk about doing something that he doesn't typically do, and he was so good.
He's always fun.
He's
for
the
sure.
best. Yeah. He is the best.
Yeah.
He's kind of the opposite of his Jack Death, I guess, in a way, in this one. But
Or Brick Bardo in Doll Man. 13 inches with an attitude.
I remember watching that film back in the day.
And Jackie Earle Haley was in this in a small role.
Wait, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, the computer guy at the end.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I did not even notice that.
Jackie Earle Haley, like, kind of hit a rough spell in the 90s with his career, and Pune put him in this, and then he put him in Doll Man as the main villain in Doll Man. You guys, if you've never seen Doll Man, you got to watch Doll Man. It's terrible.
It's another one I saw way back, and I don't really remember it.
It's just so bad. And again, he loves his explosions, you know? God, Pune loves his explosions.
Well, you got to give Pune that. Like, yeah, maybe his plots are. They're either boring or else incomprehensible, sometimes both. But he gets bang for buck, there's no doubt. Like you were saying, Corey, you wouldn't know this was a low budget movie based on how the action looks and how it plays out. Like, everything is well staged. It looks really cool. He's even got a little bit of a woo vibe at the beginning when he's like sliding down the hill. Shooting back up at those guys and all that stuff. I like that too, on that slanted roof that he's hiding behind, that stuff, and getting in that shootout. Like, all the locations and all that stuff, really cool. It just loses you so much in that second act when they're like, okay, now let's explain all this weird, really convoluted plot that we've got going on.
And I feel like he's trying to say something. I mean, he is. Albert Pune's trying to say something about information and technology and stuff, but he's just not quite hitting the mark, you know? Like, you know, Tim Thomerson's character could have been sort of a sympathetic villain, you know, because he even has that thing at the end. He's like, look, you know, we didn't ask to be made. We're just trying to survive and maybe make this world a better place because you guys are all destroying it. Actually, I think I'm saying it better than he even said it in the movie. You could have actually had one of these gray, sympathetic characters, but I just don't think Albert Pune's, you know, RIP, I don't want to talk negative about the dead, but, like, I don't think his ability was in writing. Like, I don't think that's where his strong suit was in creating these interesting characters. His strong suit is the action and the look. The look of the movie's really cool and everything. And like you said, the locations are cool as well, but it's the writing. It's not where it should be with a story like this. It's almost like, dude, just make it less complicated and just streamline this story a little bit, you know, and just keep the same action. It won't matter. We don't care. Just have them cyborgs versus, you know, cops versus robbers and that make everybody cyborgs. We don't care. We just want to see the action.
You know who
well,
they could.
But like you're saying, oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. You know who they could have streamlined this movie with by cutting her character out was Max Impact, played by
yeah.
Merle
oh, yeah.
Kennedy, with their terrible
poor man's
like,
Laurie Petty.
Yeah, poor man's Laurie Petty. I mean, first of all, Cary Hiroki Tagawa does a great pigeon accent through this. I'm like, damn,
does,
dude, you
yeah.
sound great. And then she's like doing this. Like, hey, you gonna be good guy now, huh? Yeah, yeah. We gonna go, yeah. Like, oh my god, just please stop. Just stop talking.
I was just like, I don't know that we needed to introduce yet another character at that
That's
point of the film.
No, she's terrible. I'm sorry, she's yeah. terrible.
No, 100%. She brought the whole, she brought it down whenever she was on the screen.
Every time she talked, it like I run a fast forward.
And when he was carrying her this one time over his shoulder, like for like
yeah.
10 minutes of the movie, she's like knocked out, and he's carrying her, and I was just like. Oh, that's it. Oh, those are a lot of bug bites on her butt. I was like, oh, poor girl.
Yeah, I didn't look up where they were filming this, but it looked like it was moist,
yes.
let's say. So I'm sure there was a lot of bugs going on. It was it's a sweaty film.
Yeah.
It is a sweaty film. You know, going back to those kind of neo-noir scenes with Tom Jane in that hotel room and stuff like that.
It's so sweaty.
You know, the cigarettes, the sweat, the his reach exceeded his grasp, I think, when it comes to the script part of it.
Yes.
Because like you're saying, Corey, he definitely wanted to do something next level and like a really cool sci-fi concept and everything. And you've got a little Blade Runner in here and some Terminator and stuff. But I guess, you know, if we had to have a movie like Nemesis, you know, walk so that later on The Matrix could run, you know,
I agree.
Like, so, like if we didn't have these sort of early attempts at this stuff, I don't know, you might not have ever saw a Matrix later on. So
yeah. And it's still,
I think they made a huge mistake when he's like in the jail and he's got the long hair, that he cut his hair after that.
Yeah, well, they changed his hair like five
yes.
times.
It's
in
like
this movie.
Why
I've never seen so many hairstyle changes in one movie on a guy.
In the future, they have supercuts, and it's very cheap to get a good haircut.
I tell you what,
yeah, yeah.
it's still better than Cyborg, and
yeah.
I'm going to tell you why. I
no,
think
yeah. you don't have to convince me,
okay.
but yeah, go for it.
No, I mean, I think what we've already named, the fact that this has a stellar, beyond stellar supporting cast of like actors who know how to act. And, you know, and then the stunts are unbelievable stunts for a movie that
yeah.
probably shouldn't have had that. It's like all those two components right there were lacking in Cyborg. I think overall Cyborg did not have the same amazing stunts that this had and did not have the same acting caliber.
Yeah, Cyborg.
Yeah, that's true.
Cyborg was a big disappointment to Zach and I. We were we recovered it on the first year and of Podcast After Dark, and I remembered that movie so fondly as a kid. I watched it all the time as a kid, and then I, you know, we watched it for the review, and I'm just like, what's happening? Did I have bad taste as a kid? Like, what is going on?
What?
You know? But I mean, this. Yeah, I'll take honestly. And so many people online, you know, on Instagram, whenever talk about Cyborg, oh, I love Cyborg so much. It's like, but do you? Do you really?
Yeah.
And
I think it's. Go ahead.
I'm just going to finish up by saying I'll take Nemesis over Cyborg any day of the week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. Cyborg's one of those movies where. Like even I think of Cyborg and I'm like, okay, like there's like that one scene where he drops down.
Oh, that's like the crucifixion scene.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. Sure. It's got some cool scenes. I like the concept.
Yeah.
It's like a Western style
yep.
Cyborg movie.
Cool with that.
It's like, okay, I'm kind of on board, but I'm forgetting how actual boring the movie
yeah.
is. And I think that's most people online. You ask them, when's the last time you saw it? Oh, like 20 years ago. Well, yeah, that's your problem.
Right.
But you guys are also forgetting that it has like the greatest character names of any movie.
Oh, Fender.
Gibson,
and, yeah.
Gibson,
yeah.
Rickenbacker. And
so creative.
Fender, whatever.
They're
Marshall.
All,
or
they're all guitars. They're all just guitar
yeah,
brands.
They're all guitars.
And of course, Brick
yeah.
Bardo. Brick Bardo is such a great name. I think he's used it 3 times. He loves it so much.
Oh my God.
He's like, that's the
but
greatest
Dustin,
one.
Dustin, do you like Cyborg from a schlocky perspective or from the perspective of like, oh, it's really good?
Oh, no, I don't like Cyborg. I was saying you don't have to convince me that Nemesis is better.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we did Cyborg on the show, too, as well, like, I don't know, a few years back. Actually, it was during pandemic, I think, because I think we were recording remotely at that point. But, yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, I had the same thing with Corey, where I saw that when I was a kid, hadn't seen it in years, so we watched it, and I was like, oh, this is a real piece of shit. Like, this is not a great movie. And I mean, it's not like I expected it to be a classic or something, but I thought it would be more fun than that. I mean, I do think it has a few fun scenes and action moments. There's a scene with a dummy falling down like a shaft that looks really cool, as I recall. But it's, you know, you got to really look for the highlights in that one. So
you do.
I think this is definitely an improvement. Now, I'm curious, has anyone seen any of the four Nemesis sequels?
I have. I worked at a video a couple years after this came out is when I started working at a video store, Video Man, and you know, these were on constant. I was a sucker, like I said, I was a sucker for all of these movies. I was renting them all the time. Imperial Entertainment, PM Entertainment, you know, Trimark, Full Moon, obviously. All those indie labels that were putting out action, horror, and sci-fi. And so New Concord or whatever, Roger Corman's label, putting out the Blood Fist movies with Don the Dragon Wilson.
His many, many labels.
Yeah, I saw part two. I don't think I saw part three. I think it tapped out. I remember part two being not that bad.
Albert Pugh still directed part two. I don't know if he directed.
He directed. I believe he directed 2, 3, and 4, but not 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would he want to do 5?
Yeah. He's already told the story.
He still produced 5. Yeah. I think, from what I was reading. But yeah, I'm just curious because I think they're all on Tubi. So
yeah, they are.
Like, do I go on? Do I watch another one of these?
I watch Nemesis films.
And that's the funny thing, Dustin. Like, you know, I finished this movie and I'm like, you know, we'll get to the ratings and everything, and I'm like, you know, I don't love it, obviously, but at the same time, I was like, but I kind of want to keep going because, again, there's something about this movie that Corey likes. Like, it's kind of, I like these Hardware. I like these like sci-fi movies. You know, these sort of gritty sci-fi films. I mean, I fucking loved Johnny Mnemonic back in the day.
Yeah, that's the other movie I was thinking about when
I liked it more than Matrix.
Oh my! Yeah, hey, that's an interesting
hot take.
Hot take.
But this to me felt like it could take place in either the Johnny Mnemonic or the Hardware universe. But there's something here that I was like, I kind of want to watch more, but I'm also expecting it to be lesser than the first one. I did pick up the MVD Blu-ray for this, and I do think they, you know, they put out like number one, just Nemesis on Blu-ray, a collector's edition, and it does have a director's cut, which I didn't watch because I didn't know it was in there because it was hidden under the special features. But they put out like I think 2, 3,
it's only
four,
for the hardcore.
Five, like all right. The rest on like one Blu-ray disc after that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean that's not, you know, strange, especially for movies at this sort of level of production and everything. But, yeah, I remember seeing a couple of the sequels pop up on the video store shelves too, but I never dipped back in. So I gotta admit, I'm curious enough that I will probably watch at least two. And see how that goes.
Yeah, watch part two.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, it's a banger.
I mean, it's not. Look, it's Pune. So there's going to be times when you're like, what time is it? I got to check my phone. What's going on right now? You know, and then you hear a big explosion. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm back into it. You know, he's got it's a history with every single one of his movies. He did a movie called Hong Kong 97, which I thought was going to be so cool with Robert Patrick. I remember seeing the box art for it. I'm like, this looks cool. I had the poster. I got the poster from Video Man when before I worked there. I was like, can I have that poster? And the guy's like, you sure you want that? I'm like, yeah. And I put it on my wall. I had that poster on my wall. I had the Kickboxer 2 poster on my wall. And then I saw them, and I'm like, should I keep these posters on my wall? Yeah. And I had the Brain Smasher poster on my wall.
I hate that movie. I hate that movie.
I know
movie
you
so
do.
Much.
And that's Pune. That's Pune, you know?
Was that a Pune movie?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a Pune one too. I was just looking at his filmography last night.
With Yuji Okamoto, he's one of the main villains in that.
Oh.
But that's Andrew Dice Clay, right? The Brain Smasher one.
Yeah, yeah.
Proof that he cannot carry a movie.
No.
If it has bad writing.
What about Ford Fairlane?
Well, that's the only movie.
Yeah.
Oh, and we love Fort Fairlane. We covered that first season.
We were just talking about it last night.
Yeah. I still quote that movie to this day constantly. It's and honestly, it was one of the driving factors for me to move to LA. That's how much I loved The Adventures of Fort Fairlane as a kid. Yeah.
I think I've never heard, and that's words that no one's ever uttered.
No, it is God for, like, we both equally love that movie. I know Corey probably edges me out just a bit, but man, that movie slaps.
Well, there's a movie I got to go back to too, because so many of these movies, you know, I rented them as a kid, teenager, whatever, and just the memories are pretty much gone. Like, I've watched so many movies in between. Something always is getting pushed out when you're putting
in. Yeah, you watch so many movies, though. Yeah,
I know. So you just got to keep rewatching them, James. Every 10 years, you go back, you watch it again. So
it's just it's amazing how many movies you can watch in a week, just in a week.
Yeah, but I mean, the situation with my job is that I have time to watch movies,
but like you said,
don't get that luxury.
You watch those movies, and something's got to leave.
Something has to leave.
Right?
You're sacrificing something every time.
Like anniversaries and,
birthdays.
Yeah.
Birthdays.
Oh, yeah. Don't. It's a good thing my wife doesn't listen to this podcast, because she's always like, why can't you keep anything in your brain?
You're like, because I watched Nemesis today. That's why.
I can quote some Dustin,
you and I might be cut from the same cloth, my friend. I really quickly want to kind of run down, personally, the movies that I've seen of Pune's, that, like, his filmography is pretty wild. I mean, Sword and the Sorcerer, seen. Radioactive Dreams, seen. Dangerously Close, seen. Down Twisted, seen. Alien from L.A., seen.
I gotta watch that one.
Hold on. He directed Alien from L.A.?
Yes, he did. You own the Vinegar Syndrome, don't you?
No, I wanted to pick it up because I love that poster art. I think it's fantastic. That's the Kathy Ireland one, right?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. I mean, I think Pune on his gravestone probably says, it's not bad. Like, you know, most of his movies are not bad, per se. You know, he did the Captain America movie with the rubber ears, and Kickboxer 2 is not bad. You know, Blood Match, Doll Man, Nemesis, obviously. Knights is a cool flick. If you've never seen Knights, Chris Christopherson
is in it.
Lance Henriksen is in that. You know, like that's just, Arcade, which was a Full Moon movie.
Arcade, I've been meaning to watch. I never saw that one.
I loved it. I haven't seen it since back in the day, but I love that movie.
And apparently the main girl that was in that, the young girl,
Megan Ward.
She was going to be Alex Rain in this.
Right, in his original script. Because he started working on this movie, the idea for this movie, when he was still, before he had made Cyborg even, from what I was reading. So he was definitely, and it sounds like it went through so many changes, doesn't even resemble whatever it was that he kind of started off with.
It went through a gender change as the writer became a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
As Albert Pune became a woman.
No one's going to know. Oh, no one's going to know.
No one's going to figure it out.
No one's going to know.
Now, did you guys notice in the opening act, you know, that shootout at that, I don't know what it is. It's like a quarry or something
like
that.
It's an amazing factory. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so did you know like this? Notice that weird wall in the background? That was the same location that they used for Netherrealm in the first... not Netherrealm. Outworld in the first Mortal Kombat movie. When they go over there and then Liu Kang has to fight Reptile and everything.
Yes.
It's the same. It's all the same like quarry or location or whatever that is.
I did not notice that, no.
Yeah.
I definitely picked up on that.
I love Mortal Kombat.
This is all like over my head.
Well, I mean, I probably should have recognized. We did that Mortal Kombat roundtable. It wasn't that long ago, was it?
Well, this was for the original one, the 1991 what I'm referring to.
Oh, I watched the original right before I watched the
Then
the
you
new
should
one.
Remember so it.
I'm a sucker for these double features that I do to myself all the time. or even more so, sometimes quadruple features. But... yeah, I didn't notice that, but yeah, I really did think the locations were really awesome. Almost every scene had cool backgrounds, cool sets, production design, all that stuff. So it's a movie where I'm kind of torn, because man, does it hit a wall of boring in that middle section.
Yeah,
but there is a lot of fun stuff in it too. So I haven't even entered my ratings into our, you know, we have our special Actrontron computer. So, you know, this conversation might influence how that, how I go with that. Cause normally I'd have already entered my numbers, but it's in the air for me kind of, a lot of this. However, the plot, I cannot give a high rating when we get into that stuff.
Well, you mentioned the locations, right? Cause I'm like, I appreciated how diverse the locations were for a low budget film.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, it clearly, like, one area looked like White Sands. Well, Fontana, California. I've been to Fontana. I think it's referred to, that's where Sammy Hagar is from. Fontana, which is, I only do that voice because I saw a Kiss there at a like concert way back when. And Paul Stanley goes, "Hello, Los Angeles. Wait a minute. This is Fontana. Hello, Fontana." You know, sometimes people like to talk about the big cities. I talk about every city, you know. Sorry, Fontana is like the meth capital of Southern California.
Of course, yeah.
But he filmed it in Arizona, cool. You know, and in Hawaii. I'm like, that's got to be Hawaii, right? Yep, it was in Hawaii. Hawaii, Los Angeles, and Arizona.
And they, like, destroyed an entire forest in Hawaii with Tim Thomerson's shotgun. I love how every shotgun in this movie has, like, rifle rounds or something, explosive rifle rounds in them. But, yeah, it's...
Love it.
And, you know, like, even, you know, jumping into the waterfalls and everything, there is so much high-flying goodness in this movie. Like, I mean, the fact that I don't know if there was a stunt double or if it was Olivier Gruner who did the flip to shoot Tim Thomerson.
Right, to shoot behind and blow him up.
That was so cool.
That was cool. But then Tim Thomerson turns into, like, a Terminator reject, and it's like, and that's not...
He's a T-800. You didn't like that CG when he's grabbing onto the bottom of that plane?
I mean, there was so many...
hilarious.
There were so many composites in those shots. It was just
it went from that to then, like, a Harryhausen style, like, you know, moving. But
and then Olivier gets scalped, and I'm like, what is going on?
Oh yeah,
it's so weird. The movie is just so. But then it does, like, cool things right, like where the main character, Alex Rain, Olivier Gruner, he's got his shirt off, and they got all these scars on him and everything, and you can tell that they put those on there to sort of be the implant points and everything, and I'm like, he, like, puts thought into some of these things that's really cool, and then he doesn't put thought into, like, something else, and you're like, where are your priorities here in this movie, you know?
Well, I mean, it's one of the pitfalls, I guess, of making movies at this budget level, where you don't necessarily have all the people around you who can go, hey, we need to bring this up. We need to punch this part of this up here. Because this over here is great, but, like, this here is lacking, right? Like, this part of the story is not as good as it should be. Or, you know, we've done all this great work with makeup over here, but then we've just kind of half-assed it on this side of things over here. So... Yeah, and if you don't have the budget, and it's like, you know, I'm imagining Pugh is doing a lot of this stuff himself, or, you know, with limited help, right? So at some point, you got to go, well, for a straight-to-video movie, all right, you know.
You're like, it's good way enough worse. At this point, you know.
There's way worse.
Yeah. I think it should have been, like Corey said, where it's just like, just have Cyborg versus Cyborg. Like, just have, you know, have the one side Cyborgs. They're like, you know, 25% human, and then the other side is like 10% human. So it's like, you know,
who's the worst cyborg?
I'm more human than you, so I'm better, or something. I don't know.
And then you could have had more human than human in here as the soundtrack.
Because you know, he's like, Pune was like being like, he's like, oh, this is so clever. Because if you go back and rewatch it, the bad guys are technically the good guys when you think about it. And I liked Cary Tagawa's, like, sort of turn and everything. He's such a great actor that, you know, you buy it. And it's not really a turn. It's just like, you see from his perspective and everything, but it's just the script wasn't strong enough to sort of get us there, or sort of, you know, make
it... you're not pulled in to the level you need to be to care when that happens, right?
Like, or you're not pulled into the level where you're like, oh, I want to rewatch it with, like, the new lens point, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, you know, you watch an old lady, like a 90-year-old lady, firing a, yeah. a gun and killing the fours from
one
mall
of the best
rats.
Parts of the movie. One
and
of the best
like, and that seems fantastic. It's great. And,
awesome.
And Alex
I love
Rain's
how much
like,
her hand is
like
shaking
this town.
While she's.
That's great.
Yeah, he's like, I love this place. Yeah. That was one of the good scenes. I forgot about that. That was pretty great. I loved how much her hand was shaking around while she was trying to aim that gun.
Hey, she fired those shots off, though. Good for her.
Pune's good with his humor. Like he does that. He does that in a lot of his movies where there's just these odd moments where you're like, what the hell? Where'd that come from? But it works. It works. Like when he saves the dog, there's like something about that kind of works when he puts the dog in the little, you know, box in the beginning of the movie when he's having the shootout and you're like, oh, this is kind of, you know, this is kind of like this kind of works for me. He's sympathetic to the dog and I don't know.
But then the dog sort of dies unceremonious. Yeah. Like
exactly.
So this is a perfect example.
Started good.
So Zach, part was great. Like that was great. But then, you know, a movie like this, you're going to expect the dog to die probably eventually, but he's going to die heroically. The dog just gets executed off camera for no reason whatsoever.
Well, then I think that's Pune, though. It's like he's got these great moments where you're like, oh, this is working. Oh, we're taking 5 steps back.
Yeah, he's like, well, I got to get rid of the dog now because I can't use the dog in the rest of the movie.
That scene
the dog's
where,
not well enough trained.
When he's walking with the dog and I was, you know, Corey and I are obviously huge G.I. Joe fans. I'm like, what if Snake Eyes, this is what Snake Eyes look like with his gear off. Olivier, because he shouldn't talk. He's almost better just being a silent hero. He should be Snake Eyes. There's your Snake Eyes. I always world build G.I. Joe story-wise with actors. I'm like, Olivier Gruner, that's Snake Eyes right there. The guy can kick ass and he doesn't have to
talk. Well, he had those glasses, so he almost, I could see it.
Dude, I thought the same thing when he was running on the dunes with that dog. I was like, that's Timberwolf and Snake Eyes right there.
Yes.
I thought the exact same thing. But no.
I did not have that thought. But
No, we get a talking Snake Eyes instead in that god-awful movie.
That was terrible.
And then I was thrown off. So he goes to that little town. He's in that town recuperating or whatever. And he blasts that one chick, you know, for no reason. But, like, did you guys notice that she had white gums? When she smiled, her gums were, like, stuck.
Yeah, I did notice.
Thank you. What the hell was that?
I was like, what the fuck? Is she wearing, like, fake teeth or something? Like, what is happening? Probably.
Like, they weren't even pink. They were white.
Yeah, they were white. They were white.
Thank you. I was like, did I see that? I was like, and I'm watching it by myself. I'm like, did I just see that?
What'd your self say?
I said, I did see it. They were white. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. That was odd.
There's another weird scene set up, though, where he's, I've gone to this place to recuperate or relax or whatever. And then now he's just sitting in the bar. Oh, yeah, remember me? And then, boom, he just kills this woman. And it's like, oh, what?
And she's happening? The sister? And she was the sister of the annoying girl that we all hated?
Yes.
I mean,
oh, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she
That's
was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You killed my sister, yeah? You killed my sister, yeah?
Alex-san, you killed my sister, Alex-san.
Yeah. I mean, and also, so she's the woman he has had in the shootout with in the beginning of the movie, right?
Right.
And now she's working at the bar.
Mm-hmm. He's back to kill her.
Undercover, trying to have a new life? I don't know. Who knows?
But they're all cyborgs, right?
Well, I don't know if everyone is, but like that was one thing I actually, you know, we don't get a lot of blood squibs in this movie, but like because most of the people getting shot are like robots.
Yeah.
But I did think it was actually kind of satisfying, all the sparking and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that
they're
getting shot. Like it had the impact still, even without some nice bloody squibs.
But like
stuff.
Cyborgs can't remember like when. Like,
yeah, she didn't recognize
him. Someone.
Well, he changed his hair, James. I mean.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Changed his hair, had a different haircut.
That's true.
Yeah, and he was like practically naked in the desert, so you know, he looked
different. He looked different.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like one of my favorite scenes was the Deborah Shelton shootout. Like she's shooting it's silly because she's shooting two guys and they're like 5 feet apart and they miss each other. But like when she does get hit. Yeah, seriously. But when she does get shot, the bullets are like so powerful that they push her up on the wall and kind of like keep
her
there. And I love I love the hits that these bullets make, and I think Albert Pune does a great job with that. Everything is exploding around her. You know, she's getting cut in half, and I think the cool thing is that they are all cyborgs, so they can, you know, Dustin, like you said, take a lot of hits, and then you see the sparks and everything, and there's not a lot of blood, and I didn't have a problem with that. Like, I was cool with there not being a lot of squibs because I understood that aspect of it, but I liked how much damage they could take, or some could take, and then some seemed like they couldn't take as much damage. But, you know, you could be like, oh, well, some are more cybernetic than others, and that's fine. But I thought her shootout was really, really cool.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and she looked great in the aftermath, too, like with her body, you know, like the robotic body exposed and all that stuff, and with the one boob hanging out and everything.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like, yeah, of course they have to do that, right?
And right before that scene, too, with Gruner, with his eyeball popping out, and she's like doing that stuff. Like, all that stuff looked really cool. So, like, from an effects standpoint, you know, no complaints really, other than maybe that the robotic skeleton at the end. Yeah. But
I'm gonna echo what James said earlier too. When he blasts his hole through the floors of the building, that to me was
that was one of the few scenes I remembered.
That was like so memorable. You could slap that on one of those compilation videos of like great moments from '90s movies, and people would go, "Oh yeah, I remember that."
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's any other big moments or cool things. You guys think of anything else?
I just want to throw out, I don't know if you guys are big video gamers, but this kind of reminded me, or I felt like that game series Deus Ex Machina like took a lot of ideas from this. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Pune just put this out there and people grabbed ideas that worked for them and just kind of elaborated on them better than Pune could have ever done. But maybe this has a good place to be. You know, maybe this has a place in history, you know, as for sort of starting these kind of, you know, this. And I know it's not, guys and gals, don't, you know, crucify me. I know it's not the beginning of cyberpunk or anything like that, but this is one of the earlier versions of that. And I do think it was a stepping stone for us to get to The Matrix, because I could totally see the Wachowskis being like, there's some cool ideas in this. Let's take some interest, take some of this, you know?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I think so many of these movies we see now, we're like, oh, yeah. Like, we were talking about Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, which came out in, like, 1973. A lot of people have seen it. Not a lot of people. And a lot of people have not seen it. And then you watch it, and you're like, this feels like I've seen this before in more modern times. Yeah, because directors watch this stuff, and they get ideas from it. I mean, if Doll Man hadn't come out, we wouldn't have Toy Story.
It was Bob Clark special, wasn't it?
Yes. Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things was Bob Clark and Alan Ormsby, and it's gold. Like, if you've never seen it, it's a great zombie movie.
I have seen that one. Yeah,
it's super, I love Bob underrated.
Clark. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob Clark, national treasure. Big rips to him.
No doubt. Albert Pune, Bob Clark.
A Canadian national treasure.
Oh, there you go. He's a worldwide treasure. How about that?
Fine, you can share him.
I'll put the heart logo with the, you know, Bret Hart's little Canadian leaf with the heart on it. There you go, for Bob Clark.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, he gave us a lot of, he gave us a wide variety of delicious trash, like, man.
No doubt.
With the Black Christmas, Porky's.
Porky's
Christmas Story,
all good stuff.
I mean, if I could just kind of, one last thought for this, I don't really have anything else on my notes. Aside from that annoying girl that we don't like, I thought he kind of made a lot of the female actors real strong and powerful. And I kind of go back to who'd made that statement like a year ago, like, oh, I'm the girl from
Jennifer
Hunger
Lawrence.
Games.
Jennifer
said, Lawrence. Oh, I'm the first female action star. And it's like, Albert Pune put these women, I mean, they were rocking it, and especially like the first, you know, shootout and everything. They were sexy, but they were also strong and cool at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, agreed. I know. I think oftentimes people forget that there's a world outside of mainstream big feature films. Like, there's plenty to dig into. You know, if Cynthia Rothrock would never have existed if it wasn't for straight to video movies, you know.
You don't think Jennifer Lawrence has seen Nemesis?
I think Jennifer Lawrence needs to see Nemesis. You know, there's this funny little clip floating around right now where Pedro Pascal and a bunch of other like top-rated TV stars are sitting around with a round table, and Jeff Bridges is there too, and he mentions how he got sucked into a video game or something, and Pedro Pascal's like, "Oh, you did? Which one?" And he's like, "Tron, man."
Tron,
he's like,
"Oh yeah, man.
That was an old game." And like, you can tell that no one at the table got
they
the
no
joke.
Idea.
And you're like, "I understand you guys are actors. I understand it's a craft, but you have to focus on your role. But you can also, you should do research, and like, you should have a life of learning this stuff. Jeff Bridges, you don't know he was in Tron? Come on, guys. You know, like."
Jeez.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry. That was my little rant about Jennifer Lawrence, because she clearly doesn't watch movies outside of whatever's going on and, you know, her agency.
Well, it's not like Alien was a small movie. I mean,
I know, but it's so typical of like nowadays, right? It's either you're either in a superhero movie or you're in whatever Disney's putting out, whatever big, like
that's it. That's all there is.
And like even the action world, you get like a Fast and the Furious movie, a Mission Impossible movie, and then
or John Wick movie. It's all franchises.
Or John Wick.
Everything's
it's
a franchise.
It's all franchise.
It's all
stuff.
Franchises.
I mean, we've been kind of dipping our toes in some Indonesian, some South Korea movies, which are like insane newer movies. But for like Hollywood stuff, like that's basically it.
I got one. I don't know if I should talk about this, but I'll omit names. A very prominent legendary director, probably the most legendary director of all time, who's still alive, still making good movies, is considering doing a Bullet movie.
And like a remake or like a sequel?
A remake, and also considering doing it with not CG. Like they do with the Fast and Furious movies, like legit
that would
cars,
be amazing.
Okay,
legit car races. So keep that on your radar.
Okay,
that literally just got dropped in my lap yesterday.
Ryan Gosling.
So Ryan
yeah,
Gosling.
Right. Right.
No, he's up for it at the very least.
I mean, we don't have like traditional one-off action movies that hit the theaters anymore. We don't, and it's such a shame. Or like a sci-fi movie that's not a part of a franchise, and
it's got to be something like Sisu that's like, you know, a Scandinavian movie or whatever. So like this, it's got to come out of a different market almost.
Yeah.
And it's funny because John Wick was that, and then it was like, oh, it's so amazing, let's make more. It's
of course.
Can we just have
the way we
one
do
good thing, just, you know, one standalone story, you know?
Well, Corey and I talk a lot about that on our Patreon show, The Carpenter Factor, because Carpenter was, you know, one of the few guys who didn't do sequels to his movies for a really long time, right? And people were like, when are you going to make a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China? When are you going to make a sequel to The Thing? When are you going to make a sequel to They Live? And you're like, no, actually, these movies are just standalones. And that's what makes them so amazing.
And then we have Escape from L.A.
Yes. Well, we are getting into the 90s on
well, nobody's perfect.
No. Nope.
Yeah. I think we have to watch that next, Zach. I think that's our next one we're doing.
Oh, there's some fun stuff in that one.
Is there, Dustin?
Quote, I mean, in a very hokey way, yes.
Maybe it was, I don't know if it was Dustin or James, but one of you said, it's fine. So it's fine. It's fine. My son
it's
says
not
that
his
now.
Worst.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's far from his worst. All right, well, let's get into our ratings. We got to enter your guys' ratings into our special Action Tron 2000 computer here.
Okay. Corey, you should go first.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. So what do you got for plot, Corey?
Plot? I actually, don't crucify me, I actually put down a 7 because I enjoyed what was, again, I know, again, it's a Corey thing. I enjoy what's happening, even though it's convoluted and crazy. I like the cyberpunk stuff. I think
you
it's
couldn't
neat.
Explain the plot, though. You didn't know the plot.
Can I change it? Yes, you can.
Do you need to change that?
You should change
it. Okay, I'll go with
Come on, Corey.
I'll put it right in the middle. I'll go with a five.
Good.
All right. Action kills.
Action and kills, I gave an 8. Pacing, I gave a 6. Quotes and tropes, I don't know because it. I gave it a 6 because it does a lot of the tropes. Like, it's like, I know what's going to happen next. Like, I know this is going to happen next because it's hitting the tropes. You know what I mean? But quotes, it doesn't really have many quotes. So I gave that a 6.
Yeah. What do you mean? He says, fuck you to the, to the robot guy.
Overall, I gave Nemesis a 7.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about the plot, guys.
No, it's a, dude, I was saving you, man. I'm like, nope, we're not letting Corey go down that road.
Thank you.
What do you got for plot, Zach?
Okay, plot 5. Same as Corey. Revised Corey.
Those are generous.
Revised. I wanted to, trust me, and everybody listening, don't get yourselves in a stitch about this or pinch or whatever. I want to give this a higher rating. I just can't in certain respects. Action kills, I give an 8. I almost leaned into a 9, but I was like, no, I'll give an 8.
Yeah, no, it's an 8.
It's an 8. Pacing, I gave a 6 as well. Corey and I are almost on the exact same page. Quotes and tropes, I actually gave a 6 too. I didn't write down the quotes, but it was trying really hard, and I appreciated that. And I found the tropes to be, you know, like it worked. I felt like he was trying to do like I think he was trying to do a Western with this too at times, you know, with, or like a Japanese style Western. Right. And my overall reaction is a solid 7. I think this movie is fun for what it is. If you watch with a group of people, you will laugh your ass off together. It's one of those kind of movies. So those are my ratings.
It's the perfect like friend night hangout. You know, you half pay attention to it. You talk while it's, you know, going on. You stop talking while the action happens, you know, and stuff. Yeah, I think
when Lori Petty comes on, you're like, Bob, that's not Lori Petty.
But the poor man's Lori Petty.
Is that Tank Girl?
To be totally honest, I don't know if I could. I'd rather maybe take poor man's Lori Petty over Lori Petty. I don't know. I'm not a huge Lori Petty fan.
Ouch.
When she shows up in Point Break, I'm like, oh,
she's abrasive.
Really? Yeah.
No. Well, okay. So I got a. What did I put? I put a 2 for plot.
Yeah, wow, that's intense.
Yeah. No wonder your eyes shot out of your head when I said.
Yeah, when you said 7, I was almost imploded.
7.
But I did give kills an 8, and pacing I had at a 5 because. The boring parts are really boring, so it's in the middle there for me. Quotes and tropes, I had at a 5. I should probably up that to a 6 because you guys are right. The tropes were pretty good. Reaction, I had a 6, and so my overall score ends up being a 5.
Oh,
James,
God.
What do you got? Yeah, it's that plot really took it down.
Yeah.
True. All right. Well, I gave plot a 2.
Look at you guys on the same page.
Like I gave action kills 6.
Stingy.
There just wasn't enough of it. That's my problem.
There's a lot of what?
You guys got to understand, James. He needs like action to be.
It needs
constant.
To be like nonstop in my face. I mean, nothing but action.
Clearly,
like, forget a plot.
Yeah, he needs the raid.
Clearly, your show's called Action Action. So.
Yeah. Pacing, I gave 4. Quotes and tropes 6, and my personal reactions of 4. So overall 4.4.
James not 4. Loving 4. The Nemesis, huh?
4.4. Wow.
Now traditionally James always comes in with the lowest scores on the show as well.
I know.
Corey.
Really quick, I just want to throw this out to everybody. If you shaved 10 minutes off this movie, would it have been better?
Yeah, as long as it was all that
talky talk.
Yeah, if it was 85 minutes, I would have because Dull Man is like 71 minutes, and I think you could take 5 minutes off that movie too. I'm not lying.
Beautiful, love those runtimes.
And that's the thing, like it's not that long of a movie, but it just feels long.
Parts of it felt long, for sure.
Yeah.
What does that give us as a total?
So overall, it's 5.7.
5.7, and where does that end up on the list?
So 5.7.
Calculating.
Enhance. Enhance.
Oh man, this is a huge tie.
Oh boy. Okay, we're gonna have to break this down.
Okay, so we are tied at 125 with Face Off, Cobra, Olympus Has Fallen, Rambo 2, Pitch Black.
Holy shit. Whoa. Last time Corey was here.
Yeah.
Shanghai Noon, Young Guns, GoldenEye, and Savage Streets.
Good lord. Wow. That's a tie.
Wow.
So we got to try to determine where it goes amongst those that it's tied with.
Savage Streets. I mean, that's a movie. Zach and I covered that one.
Yep.
I mean, we can cut it in half. Like, do we think is it better than any of these movies? Face Off, Cobra, Olympus Has Fallen, Rambo 2, Pitch Black, Shanghai Noon?
Shanghai Noon better than that.
Yeah, you like it better. You're not a big fan of the Shanghai Noon?
Shanghai Poon.
It's got a Kid Rock song on it. Come on.
You cowboy, baby. The pacing on that is rough.
That's true. The pacing is rough.
Can I say that I would watch Nemesis over Face Off any day of the week?
How dare you?
I hate that movie. How dare
you? I hate you.
I know.
So, yeah, you can see that Face Off isn't very high on our list.
I love Face Off.
That was, you know, I think James and I, when we did it for the show, I used to love Face Off.
I love Face Off.
And the last time we watched it for the show, I was like,
Yeah, I mean, watch it again. I love Hard Target.
Yes.
So,
yes. That's my favorite John Woo American movie is Hard Target.
It's my favorite John Woo movie.
And it's his favorite period.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a bold statement.
I'm a little crazy.
Yeah, that is a bold statement. Okay, so
better than Wind Talkers.
Paycheck.
Although the last one we did, I really liked. What was that one again?
Bullet in the Head. We did not too long ago. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Oh yeah, with
that was a great movie.
That was a good episode, guys. That was awesome.
No, not that bullet. Not that bullet in the head. The Woo.
Oh yeah,
the
Woo
bullet in the head.
That's right. Not the Stallone version. Oh, I could carry any movie. Yeah, carry it to death. Carry it to bed.
Of everything that was there that you guys are putting it against, I would put Pitch Black above it. Is the only one I would put above Nemesis. But that's just me.
You think Nemesis is better than Rambo 2?
No.
I'm not a Sylvester Stallone guy, man. I'm not really either, but
I think it's
come on.
I wouldn't put it above Rambo 2.
I don't give a crap about Rambo.
I mean Young Guns?
I don't think it's better than Young Guns.
No.
I love Young Guns.
I love Young Guns also. I love that movie.
Okay, Young Guns.
GoldenEye?
GoldenEye is pretty good. GoldenEye is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, looking back, that's not one of the strongest, like, Bond. You know, people love the video game, I think, more than the movie.
I think that's what people think about, right?
Yes.
The video game.
That's what
the
I think.
The action is actually... Well, I think the action's actually pretty good, though, in GoldenEye.
Okay.
What was the last Pierce Brosnan one with Halle Berry?
Die Another Day?
I love that movie. I love that one so much.
That's like the Batman and Robin of James Bond movies.
That was the last one I saw in the theater. Of Bond.
Oh, you didn't
really?
See Casino
didn't see
Royale
the...
in the theater?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen any of those.
You haven't seen them at all or just not in the theater?
I haven't seen them at all.
Oh,
but I get a lot of shit from my co-host Dustin on $2 late fee because I like there's so many
pretty good
new movies that I haven't seen, like Deadpool, and you know he's like, you haven't seen Deadpool? I'm like, no, I'm too busy watching movies for Pad.
too busy watching 80s movies,
right?
I get it, man. It's true. Most of the new movies they just don't hit the same way.
They really don't. I was telling my wife, I was like, kill every streaming service. I don't give a crap. Get rid of all of them. I have like a million 80s movies that I've never seen before. We can just watch them for the rest of our lives. Who cares?
For the rest of our lives.
Yeah. I'm watching Treasure of the Four Crowns the other day, and I'm like, this is so horrible, but like so good at the same time. It's winning. It's winning across the board right now.
AKA Treasure of the Four Lamps, AKA Treasure of the Four Condors.
AKA Living Spaces, treasure the living spaces. I don't know. Treasure the Walmart.
And it's funny because, like, we were talking on another episode that I watched one of these streaming service movies, Ghosted, which was the biggest piece of shit movie I've seen in a long time. And the conversation is like, okay, in like 30 years from now, are people going to be watching Ghosted being like, oh man, I love these 2023 movies.
It won't exist anymore. I mean, yeah. I just saw that Tarantino thing the other day where he was like, these streaming movies don't even exist.
Yeah.
Like, they cost a ton of money. People watch them once when they come out and then they forget they exist. And there's no conversation about it. It doesn't go on and exist as a cultural artifact in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to mention all streaming services will just drop things so they don't have to pay royalties. I think Disney Plus said they were going to drop like the Willow TV show.
They're dropping their own stuff.
Yeah. And then like, they sit there and they're like, oh, but why aren't people staying subscribed to our service? It's because you're morons. That's why.
Yeah, and don't even get me started else on going HBO on shit.
Yeah.
So where does it end up, James? If it's behind Young Guns, what was after Young Guns?
Goldeneye.
I mean, these guys seem to think it's better than Goldeneye. I guess we could stick it in front of Goldeneye.
All right, yeah. So that'll be new number 132.
Nice.
Woohoo!
Yay, Goldeneye sucks.
Top 200. It's in the top 200.
Wow.
So, but Pitch Black is still Goldeneye. Higher, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Corey's like, that's all that's important here.
That's I care about.
But wait, guys, is my boy, Vin Deese? Is he still above
Vin
it?
Vin
Deese? Street Shark Man?
Oh, yeah. We couldn't do that to him. No. We couldn't put him below that.
It's all the family here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have you guys back in 1 year to do Nemesis 2. Yeah.
We'll just keep coming back for the next 6 years and keep doing Nemesis every year.
Good Lord. Apparently, I think there's a crossover movie too.
What? Say that again.
I think there's like a spin-off movie too. I was reading.
There is. So,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
From Nemesis?
You guys do?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you guys do Wanted Dead or Alive with Rutger Hauer?
We haven't done that. Corey threw me a list of stuff you guys were interested in.
Let's put
doing,
that on that list.
I only chose. I only chose this one because it was easy access for us.
Shoot to Kill yet with Tom Berenger and Sidney Poitier?
No, but it's on. I have a huge list of movies that we got to do at some point, and that's on there.
All right.
But yeah, Wanted Dead or Alive. I want to do Blind Fury with Rutger Hauer, where he's samurai.
Yeah, that's a
fun one. I remember liking that one. Yeah.
Corey, have you seen Shoot to Kill with Tom Berenger, Sidney Poitier?
No.
Put that on your list. Watch
copy,
it.
Copy that. Yep. It's on. Do it right now.
Like,
boop, 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 boop. Yeah. It's on there.
Done.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys once again for being on the show. Why don't you plug all your shows and, you know, where people can find you, chat you up.
Okay. Zach, you go first, buddy.
All right, so I'll let Corey talk about Podcasting After Dark, but you can find me at $2 Late Fee, TWO on Instagram, and $2LateFee.com, 80s Movie Podcast. Territory Marks is also a part of $2 Late Fee.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that's a wrestling, 80s wrestling show. It's all under the $2 Late, umbrella. Corey, how about you?
Yeah, you can find us over at Podcasting After Dark. You can find links in all the shows at podcastingafterdark.com, as well as merch and everything like that. And on Instagram, at podcastingafterdark, whatever it is, at podcastingafterdark. That's pretty much where we live, is on Instagram and everything. So, yeah, we got in TV Obscura with our buddy Diallo is on the Podcasting After Dark feed as well. So, yeah, podcastingafterdark.com. That's podcastingafterdark.com.
That's $2 late fee, TWODOLLAR.com. Or late fee. Fuck. Whatever. You got it.
We got it. Got it.
Yeah, we got it. We got it.
Downloaded some Territory Marks.
Dude, awesome. So. I hope you like it. Please let me know what you think. It's my baby. Really quick. That show, we each bring a match to the episode. So Paul brings a match, I bring a match, and then we discuss. Paul was trained by Terry Funk. He's got insights to the wrestlers that we talk about. And then I throw some really cool clips in there too, and it's a lot of fun. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's for definitely for people who grew up watching the stuff and for new people who are not familiar with it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and for new people, because I grew up, I've always had, my closest friends have always been wrestling fans, but I've never been a wrestling person. But I still sort of like, I know a lot through osmosis, and I'm learning a lot with Territory Marks. When I listen to Territory Marks, I very much enjoy it, even though I'm not like a hardcore fan, and I'm also feel like I'm learning things. So I love that show. So I always give that a shout out. And I mean, I love $2 Lifey as well. And I love Action Action. I've been listening to you guys for a while now.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, you guys are rolling and rolling. So.
I'm happy to finally be on your show, guys. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, yes, it was a long time coming. So, but thanks so much, guys, for coming on.
Of course.
And yeah, maybe we'll save Wanted Dead or Alive for next time.
Ooh, yeah. It's got Gene Simmons in it.
Nice. Man, he did way more movies than I realized.
Yep.
And he's usually kind of fun in them, actually.
Yeah, he sure is. To me, quick, Wanted Dead or Alive is the Punisher movie that could have been.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Not a fan of the Dolph one?
No, I like the Dolph one, don't get me wrong. But this is a kind of vigilante bounty hunter character. I feel like they could have molded more around the Punisher. Rucker Hauer would have made a great Punisher, I really think.
He just had to dye his hair black like Dolph.
Yeah.
I think they could have got away with him being blonde. I think they could have.
He probably had in his contract, you can't dye these beautiful golden locks.
Oh, do you guys have a breed apart on that list? A breed apart with Rucker Hauer and Powers Booth and Kathleen Turner? Ooh, that's a good one. Donald Pleasance is in that too. Donald Pleasance.
Just making my list get bigger and bigger.
A breed apart.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you guys once again. Had a lot of fun. Look forward to the next time. What you bring. And if you want to talk to Dustin, you can talk to Dustin on Instagram at Action Action Podcast. You can also check out our list. It's on Letterboxd@ActionAction. And, become a Patreon follower and make us pick a movie.
Yeah, choose a movie.
Force us to watch movies like Nemesis. And
or don't. You don't have to.
Yeah, right. And also get stickers and mugs and, things like that. I'm currently working on a new shirt. It's going to come eventually. But, yeah, thanks again. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
I just looked up a breed apart.
Guys.